Thank you for having me here this afternoon. It's an honor to be part of the data session. I've helped plan these before, but never actually had the opportunity to present as one. Thank you all for coming. I'm going to have the opportunity here to take some of what Lee and Margie have talked about and bring it down to how we're actually doing real-time surveillance, entry surveillance in North Carolina using a syndromic surveillance system. So I want to start by thanking my co-authors. I do want to point out this: the work that we're doing in North Carolina is very much a collaboration between the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and our North Carolina Division of Public Health. So I have authors from our Carolina Center for Health Informatics, our Injury Prevention Research Center at UNC, as well as our Division of Public Health. I'm Anna Waller, and I have no relationships to disclose. I also want to acknowledge some of the other folks at our Division of Public Health and at CCHI who've helped us with this, and the fact that we couldn't actually do any of this work without the collaboration of our North Carolina Hospital Association and the funding that we get through CDC. So my objectives for this afternoon are to tell you a little bit about our history with NC Detect, describe how we use it for public health surveillance, including for injury surveillance. I'll give you some examples of what we have been doing with injury surveillance, and along the way talk about some of the strengths and limitations of using these sorts of data for injury surveillance. So NC Detect, I'm going to start by telling you a little bit more about that and describing the system in general and then specifically how we use it for injury. So a little bit of history. We began as a pilot project funded by CDC, expanded further under voluntary participation, and eventually in 2004 it was determined by the state that things were not going fast enough to get to a statewide system, and we actually mandated the reporting of hospital ED data for syndromic surveillance in North Carolina. It's important to understand this is not part of our hospital discharge data system. This isn't just administrative data. This is actually electronic data coming in a timely fashion. We were somewhat fortunate in North Carolina in that we had never made emergency department discharge data part of our hospital discharge system. And in fact, our hospital discharge data were privatized in the mid-90s, making them almost impossible to get for the sorts of things that we usually use them for in public health. So this is a description of our data flow in NC Detect. I'm going to be focusing on the emergency department data piece, but you can see that rather quickly we grew to include multiple sources of data that are all provided to the state for public health surveillance. So for emergency department data, all of our 24/7 acute care civilian hospital affiliated EDs in the state submit their ED visit data twice a day to the system. The data include all ED visits, regardless of how the patient arrives to the ED, regardless of their disposition from the ED, or their expected source of payment for their ED care. Currently, we have 122 hospitals that are required to report, and all of them do, and they submit about 5 million ED visits a year to the system. About 20 to 25% of those visits each year are injury-related. And in addition to the ED data, we have all of our poison center calls for the state, our EMS responses, visits to VA hospital emergency departments, and data from select urgent care centers across the state. So this is a list of the data elements that we currently get from emergency departments in NC Detect. All of these, other than triage notes, are mandated through that law that I told you about. These include basic descriptive and demographic information. We also get some initial clinical details, and then we do collect multiple diagnoses and E-codes for each visit. We're lucky that North Carolina has taken an all-hazards approach to NC Detect data. Therefore, we can use the data for everything that we want to try to use it for. So we use it for detecting outbreaks and events early. We monitor known public health threats through situational awareness. And we conduct a wide variety of public health surveillance activities. So why do we want and need timely injury surveillance data from emergency departments? So our mortality data in North Carolina indicate that we have about 6,000 deaths per year from injury. And for those data, which we get through our vital stats system, it takes about 1 year for the data to become available. For our hospital discharge data, we see that there are probably about 27 hospitalizations for each death. The data, though, are very slow to become available, usually take at least 2 years if we're lucky. And the other thing with our hospital discharge data, what we're able to get is fairly limited in terms of the data elements available, and they only capture up to 3 diagnosis codes and 1 E-code. So that 1 E-code also limits us in terms of entry surveillance. Our emergency department data reflect a large segment of our medically attended injuries in the state. The injuries treated in the ED range in severity from minor to fatal. And since emergency departments are required by law to treat all comers, patients seek care there regardless of their insurance status. In North Carolina, we have over 1 million injury-related ED visits reported each year to NC Detect. And the other thing to understand here is that for authorized public health users at the state and local health departments and in our hospitals, they can see these data in near real time and conduct their surveillance and investigation on an ongoing manner. The data elements that are captured in the ED visit, most of them are available immediately. Our diagnosis and E-code data tend to be coming in about 1 to 2 weeks later than the other data. So there's a little bit of a delay, but it's not 2 years delay like we do see with our getting hospital discharge data. So we adapted this slide from one that was developed in Florida that looked at infectious disease. And what I'm trying to indicate here is that, you know, through the progression of a patient being injured and then perhaps self-treating, seeking treatment, and moving through the process of recovering from that injury, there are various sources of data that become available at different times. Our emergency department visit data are available fairly early in this process, and our discharge diagnosis and E-code data in North Carolina are also available earlier than almost any other source of data that we have to look at injury. So users of the NC Detect system access it through a secure web-based application. The access is role-based in that the role of the user determines what data they can see and what level of granularity they can see. Aggregate and record level data reports are available with various output, export, and customization features available. The design and development of the NC Detect web application is user-driven. We have a very user-centered design, and there's just constant feedback back and forth between the users and the developers, and this is just a never-ending process. I think early on in this, you know, 12 years ago, there was sort of this idea that we would build a system and then the data would be flowing in every day and that would be that. We'd never have to do anything with it again. And I think we found we've had to really convince some of our funders that there's not a point at which you just can stop paying for the system and it will run itself. It's very much an iterative, always under development process. Currently, we have almost 300 registered and active users, and these are people who are actually logging into the system every day and using the data regularly. And our users include epidemiologists and others at our North Carolina Division of Public Health, various staff at our local health departments, and hospital-based personnel that include epidemiologists, preventionists, and clinicians. In addition, researchers can request data through a data use agreement with the state. All the data belong to the state of North Carolina. And then there are many publications, including fact sheets and reports, that are available publicly through the NC Detect website. So when you go to the website, this is the landing page, the publicly available page, where you can access things like fact sheets and reports. And then users can use through this securely log in to the web application. And this shows the dashboard that local health departments land on. There are several tabs across the top, this overview page where they land. It allows them to determine whether the hospitals in their county are actually submitting data, whether the data are coming in a timely manner. It allows them to look at various things from graphs of symptoms, whether it's GI symptoms or influenza-like illness symptoms. But there are a number of injury things that are included here, too. So, for instance, this has heat-related illness, which is this middle graph. This is counts by day, and then they can click on any of these points that are count, and if they're an authorized user, an actual line listing of the records comes up where they will have all the details for each emergency department record that they can look at for investigative purposes. So we also develop specialized dashboards for public health surveillance during specific events, and these can be like for known events such as our Democratic National Convention, an approaching hurricane, football season, but we also do them for unexpected events such as the chemical warehouse explosion, ice storm, a bad batch of street drugs. And we can do new reports and have these created and implemented in the web application in as little as about 2 hours. Based on our experience in North Carolina with natural disasters, we actually have a set of reports that are sitting ready to be implemented in case of things like hurricanes or heat waves. These we call overview reports, and then we can customize them as whatever the event is unfolding, but we have them ready to go. So, for example, this was Hurricane Irene, and you see you can choose your data source. So here I have ED. Set the date range. You can look at it by county, by the whole state, by hospital, or by region. And then if you choose hurricanes, the hurricane ones for Hurricane Irene, it also, you have the option of more than 20 syndromes that you can run reports on. And over half of these are injury-related syndromes. You also have the option of running, choosing all, which would give you all the visits that are being tracked as being related to that natural disaster. So this is another example of where we were using the system to track a known poisoning threat, in this case bath salts. And I don't know how many of you heard about this. The bath salts, these are not bath salts that you put in your bath and soak in. This was an actual drug that was being packaged and sold like in convenience stores, and it was being snorted, and sometimes people were trying to melt it and shoot it, and it was causing a lot of problems in the community. So this shows just through January into May, we were seeing this great increase in the number of bath salts complaints showing up in the EDs by week. And then based on the monitoring that was being done by our Department of Public Health, a law was enacted that went into place June 1st and made the sale of these bath salts illegal. And we immediately were able to track the impact of that law. So one of the things that's been really useful for us in terms of getting more into using the system for injury surveillance has been the Surveillance Quality Improvement Project, or SQI. And this is part of a broad CDC core funding initiative that's aimed at improving the quality of injury surveillance data. North Carolina is one of four states that's currently funded by this. Scott Prochabel, one of my co-authors, who's an epidemiologist in our Injury and Violence Prevention Branch, is the PI for the state. And again, he pulled in UNC to be a partner with them in this. Our overall goal in North Carolina for our SQI project is to improve communication, collection, and usefulness of e-codes across data systems to inform injury surveillance and programs. And while the project is addressing data from many sources, much of the effort in North Carolina has been in improving our injury data in NC Detect. So one of the first things we have done with this is just start tracking where are our problems with data quality for injury. And obviously that means looking at where are we getting e-codes. Not so we look at injury visits as either having an injury diagnosis and or an e-code. This is 2012 data, and you can see about 75% of our visits are identified as injury-related. About 75% have both an injury diagnosis and an e-code. But we also have about 11% that have an injury diagnosis and no e-code. And then we also have some that have e-codes but no injury diagnosis. And many of these have the sort of signs and symptoms diagnoses that we see a lot of in emergency departments. So they have a headache, they have a backache, they have abdominal pain, but they also have, it may be related to injury. So when we started looking into this further, not surprisingly, a lot of these missing e-codes, this 11% that are missing e-codes, are coming from just a handful of hospitals. So in 2011, when we started looking at this, we had 116 hospitals providing data, and this goes from just over 0% up to almost 99% when it's plotted by hospital for how many of their injury diagnosis codes are missing an E code. But there were only 12 hospitals that had more than 50% of their injury diagnoses missing E codes. So we did some outreach to hospitals based on that, and that knowing who those hospitals were was really helpful. And we had some impact. By 2012, you can see that we were down to only 4 hospitals that were still missing over 50% of their E-codes. One of the things that was most useful in reaching out to the hospitals was simply showing them these graphs and saying, this is where you are and this is what the problem is. And then they go, oh, gosh, we had no idea. So having just being able to do something simple like that with these data and doing it in a timely manner was very useful. It's gotten better and better. Within 3 months, we consider the data complete, but most hospitals within a week or two have their codes in. There are a few that are slower, so that's why we wait when we're looking at it aggregate across the state, but most hospitals within a week or two have their codes in. So this slide is just comparing those 12 hospitals that we identified as being a problem in 2011 and showing how much better they got in 2012. The blue bars are 2011, the orange 2012, and of the 12, 10 of them got significantly better. Two of them are still looking pretty bad, but for the most part that we had quite a good impact. Of course, we had a couple of new hospitals that cropped up and became problems in 2012. Things are always changing. Nothing's ever static. So I wanted to talk a little bit about how we're using the ED data for poisoning surveillance, since that's become a growing area of interest in North Carolina. We're doing a lot more in that area now. So as in most of the country, in North Carolina, we're in the midst of a poisoning and drug overdose epidemic, and it's primarily related to opioid and heroin overdoses. While we had good case definitions in place for mortality, we found that we were not real happy with the case definitions for morbidity surveillance. They just weren't as well developed or tested. And so in response, we worked with the state to create 11 new case definitions for poisoning surveillance using our ED visit data. So just looking at the heroin-related ED visits, you can see that we used a combination of our codes from our ICD-9-CM codes, as well as looking at keywords in our chief complaint and triage data. And all of those 11 diagnosis definitions that we developed are available on our ncdetect.org website. And this just shows a plot of our 2013, 2014. 2013 is the blue, 2014 is the red line, for heroin visits January through September by week. And you can see there was a 39% increase between the 2 years for heroin overdoses in the ED, or heroin-related ED visits. Now, if you were an authorized user, you can be plotting this by day, and each day clicking to get that line listing of the records and looking at the details for each of those visits, which is really useful for our public health practitioners who are trying to track this and then investigate things as well. Another benefit of our SQI funding is that we actually have had some dedicated staff time to work on injury-related projects using NCDetect, and this has resulted in the development of a number of reports and fact sheets related to injury. So you can see we've done a lot of fact sheets on various injury topics, including one on what are E-codes and why are they important. This was something that was actually requested by the Hospital Association for hospital coders, because there's apparently still people who don't know what these are. All the fact sheets are available on our public website. And then we've had several publications over the last couple of years as well. These are some of the topics, and those are also, a full list is also available on the website. So I'll open it up to any questions or discussions if we have any time. We have not. All these data are secondary data. We don't have them do anything special for us. They're all pulled out the back end of the electronic health records that are in place in the hospitals. I've never even thought about sending it to CPC, to be honest. I'm not sure that they would be interested in the data, given that they're not as investigated at the source is what they usually want, but certainly be open to the idea. Yes, Hank. Almost every state has a syndromic surveillance system of some sort. Not all of them are like ours. I think in some ways what makes us unique is that we don't have an ED discharge database that most other states have that's all administrative data and mirrors the hospital discharge data. In some ways that's, I think, been an advantage for us because we haven't had to deal with, well, we already have mandated ED data, so why do you want this additional information? But like I say, because of the need for syndromic surveillance, for biosurveillance, most states have something, and they're getting data in a timely manner out of their EDs. Not all of them capture the actual end codes, diagnosis codes, and E-codes, but they've all got chief complaint, they've all got basic demographics, and it's all timely. I think anybody working in this area in any state should look into what's available and see what they could do with it, because it's going to be a lot more timely than what you're getting from the administrative databases.
One more question.
Well, if it's not specific, we're not getting it. But, I mean, we've got 122 hospitals, and every one of them does chief complaint differently. Most of them still use free text, and so we have been able to, you know, identify substances when they're – I mean, we definitely have some that use pick lists and will just say overdose. You know, that's another reason that we also have 11 different definitions that we're using for looking for poisoning and overdoses, that some of them are more broad and then some of them are more specific.